morning. Good morning. Hopefully you are in agreement with that psalmist that it is a privilege to be here. Remember, like I like to remember, we don't have to be here. We get to be here. So good morning. Today we're going to continue on and finish up actually chapter 3. We're going to start and finish it of 2 Corinthians. And let us begin with a word of prayer. Lord God, creator of all we see and don't see, forgive us for anything we may have done that would interfere with our ability to hear from you through your word today. Let us make good use of the time you have personally appointed to us this morning so that we can get an understanding, so that we may apply your word to our daily lives. We pray in the name of Jesus, the one who saved us and shows us the way. Amen. So for those of you, I sent out the little teaser text message. Yes, today we're going to have a spiritual checkup. But before we get into that, let's do just a quick review of the question that we had last week that hopefully you had a chance to reflect upon. That question was, would you rather have nosy neighbors or noisy neighbors? Drum roll, the response that I got was overwhelmingly, everyone, it was unanimous. You have a preference for nosy over noisy neighbors. Someone mentioned that, the noisy neighbors would interrupt their peace, which could lead to more conflict. And I think I also agree that I would prefer to have the nosy neighbor too. Yvonne in Alabama pointed out that the extra eyes could come in handy. So, yeah, I'm always thinking about crime, you know. So nosy neighbors do have a place. If only we could get them to just stick with making sure nobody broke into our house. Okay, so your would you rather question for today is, would you rather lose your way while walking or would you rather lose your way while driving? And we'll revisit that question a little bit later. So my approach for this chapter is going to be different than that of chapters 1 and 2 where we looked at how to comfort and resolve conflict. Here from a big picture standpoint, we can use what Paul wrote to gauge where we are spiritually in a few areas. Remember when God asked Adam where he was after they had hidden when they sinned? Of course, God knew where they were, but that question was they and we can always reflect on. In order to move in the right direction to get to a destination, it's always a good idea to take notice of where you are right now. You ever go to a mall, you see that kiosk map where you can try to figure out where you're going? Well, they always provide you with a marker for where you are right now. And then they are provided points of references or gauges to help you in your journey to make it to your destination. With our mall example, as you see other stores near where you're going, it lets you know that you're getting closer and that you are indeed going in the right direction. So what we're going to do with our time today is to read a few of the verses, then stop and reflect on what it looks like Paul is trying to get across. I'll refer to these as guideposts. Then I will identify a gauge for you to consider in helping you think about if you're moving in the right direction. So today, that's how we're going to do our spiritual checkup. So let's start with verses 1 through 3, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Are we beginning to praise ourselves again? Are we like others who need to bring you letters of recommendation or ask you to write such letters on their behalf? Surely not. The only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. Here's one of the things I love about Paul. He's always careful when he brings up his talents, education, or work to remind others that he was not self-promoting. This is not an easy thing to do, right? Especially in our culture, we tell people to be confident and to put forth their best attributes, say, for example, when they're applying for a job. But then we say they're overdoing it, and we call them arrogant. One way to help clarify this distinction between confidence and pride is to point your hearer in the direction of how you achieve the success. In this case, Paul actually tells them to consider their own lives as evidence of his role. He highlighted that the apostles' good work among them is evidence of the ministry through Christ. He didn't need any letter of recommendation to them if they really knew him. Stop for a minute and think about the ministry that you're a part of. To me, it would be Runner for Christ Ministries. I don't need anyone to tell me about our pastor, assistant pastors, deacons, and church members. I know for myself the work that Christ is doing in this ministry, our anniversary in this ministry. Just as it says, but not by what is written in pen and ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. It is written on my heart. Guidepost number one. So the guidepost for these first three verses is sight. Paul referred to their ability to read them as a letter from Christ and carved on human hearts rather than stone. But nonetheless, he was inviting them to see. When you go to the eye doctor, several different tests are performed to assess your ability to see what is accurately before you. It is not a question of what is really there, but your ability to see it. The same is true of God's word. There is an absolute truth. The question is whether you can or will see it. Thankfully, with God's word, ability is not an issue because he has given us that ability spiritually. So it really comes down to whether or not we choose to see. So your marker or gauge is to consider if you're willing to see the truth that God puts right in front of you. Looking at these particular scriptures, consider if you're seeing and accepting that Paul is an apostle of Christ and that this word is representative of God's teaching. Further, after hearing Minister Stevens preach yesterday, recognize Paul's writings, which is God-breathed scripture, is a way by which he is taking us by the hand and leading us though our sight may be impaired. Verses 4 to 6. We are confident of all of this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. So here again, Paul points to God through Christ. The apostles, nor are we able to do ministry on our own. This is a spirit thing. There should be manifestation in the physical realm, but if we are rightly operating under the new covenant that gives life, then we must recognize the power of God through the work of the Holy Spirit. This is what enables us to do what we do. So guidepost number two for these three verses is power source. The source is trust in God through Christ. Let's check our energy levels on this one. This power that we need to deliver the message of Christ, whether that's through teaching, preaching, or showing by our lifestyles, will not happen without an energy source, namely the power of Christ. Similarly, you cannot do anything here in this physical realm without power that we basically refer to as energy. If you are run down because you're not eating or resting properly, you cannot perform. Similarly, if you're not feeding on the word, or if you are insisting on eating food with no nutritional value, you will be weak. An example of bad food would be holding on to the law, the covenant that Paul says ends in death. So check your pulse on this one. I learn so much when I'm working on Sunday school like this. A slow heart rate can cause insufficient blood flow to the brain, which can result in a lot of bad stuff for sure, including fatigue, feeling weak, or lightheadedness. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a zombie acting Christian. I want to be on full throttle, and that means I need to be connected to God through Christ. Verses 7 to 11 reads, the old way with laws etched in stone led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face, for his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? So in these passages, Paul compares the new covenant of salvation by faith in Christ through God's grace with the old covenant between God and Israel. While clearly he is stating that the new covenant is awesome and far better, he acknowledges that the old covenant had its points. It served Israel in that time for the purpose God had in mind. He brings up the glory of God revealed when Moses came down from the mountain. I know when I got to that place in Exodus 34 where it mentions that Moses' face was so radiant that the people were afraid to look at him, I just sat and wondered. And then there were the reports of the lightning and the mountain shaking and all that when Moses went up to get the commandments of the law. Shoot, I would have been just like them, not trying to even get close. Oh, yeah, and then there was the part about them dying. Nope, I love that I am in this dispensation with the covenant of grace through Christ. And the thing is, the law cannot save us. Thankfully, the old ministry of condemnation for sin ended and has been replaced with what verse 11 says is much more glorious and remaining forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say that all day, every day. You know, it wouldn't even seem like enough. So guidepost number three on this verse would be cognition. Can you figure stuff out? Are you following him? After reading those scriptures, if you are rational and reasoning, you would conclude that we are under a new covenant with God that is a better one. I cannot understand why any Christian would want to be under the law versus grace. Wait, actually, I can. When you hear the legalistic leaning arguments, it's usually judgmental. For example, have you ever spoken to a person who wants to compare that they're good because they do not steal just so they can tear down someone who does? That's it, clinging to the law, wanting forgiveness only for yourself. You know, I know yesterday Pastor O and a lot of people have been remembering DMX. And the fact that he passed away, and thank God that he is saved. And, of course, we know that, you know, he led a life of sin just like us. And, again, you know, we just got to be really careful with that. And if nothing else, you know, just some compassion to think about how a person ended up where they ended up. You know, the prostitutes and a lot of the people who use drugs, a lot of them were exposed to these things as children and literally it was pretty much all they knew until they got a little older to maybe know better because of their family. I remember watching him on television and just like literally he was crying and I was close to it. But he talked about how he was exposed to drugs as a 14-year-old by a family member, someone he looked up to. And he's like, who does that? Really, indeed, who does that? We can't do that kind of stuff. As Christians, and we need to protect our children so that they are not exposed to those kinds of things. But that's a completely different teaching. Basically, what we need to do is we need to check our brains on this, and we need to avoid what pastors always refer to as thinking. So I'm going to call this your mental health check. A marker or gauge for this part of your checkup is awareness. You know how they ask you those questions like what day of the week it is or who is the president. Well, my question for you is, who is Jesus Christ and what is he to you? I hope you will say that he is your Lord and Savior and that this is so permanently ingrained in your psyche that it can never be removed. I once heard a story about a person who had visited their father suffering from dementia in a nursing home. The speaker mentioned some of the struggles that came with the father not knowing who people were. During one of their talks, the dad was asked if he remembered so-and-so with the response always being no. Then later in the conversation, the name Jesus Christ came up, and the response, him, I know, may it always be so with you. Verses 12 to 15, since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand. Okay, again, this is pretty straightforward. But there are some important points we need to notice. As a minister of the new covenant, Paul can be bold. He, like us, can see God's glory and without having to cover our face with a veil. That separation still exists for those who are not in Christ. It says in verse 15 that even today, some do not understand because their minds are hardened, their hearts are in effect covered with a veil. Yikes. Well, we have gotten that mental checkup, so hopefully you're cool. Guidepost number four here to me would be confidence or boldness. So it's time to check into the heart more. How about a blood pressure check? Your blood pressure is an indication of what's going on with your heart. Have you ever noticed that people with blood pressure problems are affected physically? If it's too low or too high, it can make them dizzy, faint, or even worse. Basically, blood pressure issues can render a person unable to perform a task, like the work God has set before them to do. So as you peer into your heart spiritually, think about where you are. Are you bold and confident in God's word relative to your standing? Can you share your faith with another person? Are you timid when it comes to speaking about God? If yes, it's time to study, pray, and realize you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Now let's read the last verses, 16 to 18. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Oh, how I wish I could sing, changed. Okay, that's kind of like singing. Oh, how I've been changed. Ray, you best get in here and stop me. Just joking. Y'all don't want me singing. In fact, on my birthday, the day that Ray has agreed to do whatever I ask, I threaten to do a full-fledged concert up in here. I'm still trying to read the look on his face when he thought I might be serious. It was so funny. Well, seriously, though, this thing about being changed into the glorious image of God is something else. It is out of this world. Thanks to Assistant Pastor Janice Tate, whenever I think of being transformed in the image of Christ, I remember a demonstration she performed at church. Imagine one of those transformers that children play with. It starts out as a robot, but as the parts are moved and shifted around, it can turn into a car or some other object that the maker imagined. Well, that's how it is with us and God. If we are willing, if we allow ourselves to be molded into the pattern that God intends, we will be able to work in peak spiritual performance. Imagine that transformer toy in the format of a car trying to reach down and pick up something. Not possible, right? But when it's transformed into the form of a robot with hands, the task is made possible. Similarly, we can choose to remain in a format that does not even work in the world, like, say, nagging the people about not keeping the law. Or we can allow God to transform our minds and hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit so we can show, that's right, show forth the love of Christ. Please understand that when we live the commandments by loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and by really, really loving each other, we are fulfilling the law. Guidepost number 5 is changing. Present tense, changing, ongoing. With respect to our spiritual checkup, I thought that respiration would be a good analogy. My rationale is that breathing is something that we have a level of short-term control. We can choose to breathe faster, say when we're exercising. At times, like when we feel like we're breathing too fast, we can consciously slow it down. And if you're like me, if there's a foul smell around, I will shallow breathe so that I am taking in less. We can even hold our breath for a while. And just to put a pin in this, I don't know if any of you are watching the trial involving George Floyd, but they even, one of the experts testified that even we can use parts of our body, other parts of our bodies to try to breathe, you know, if we've lost a lot of oxygen. So now, often during a medical exam, you're told to take a deep breath so that the doctor can listen to your lungs. But notice all of these different ways of breathing requires a conscious decision. Are you deliberate when it comes to the things of God? Are you willing to allow the potter to mold you into the person he created you to be? Oh, the freedom of losing all of those restrictive rules others put on you that God never did. It's like having on a spiritual straitjacket. In some churches. Did you notice verse 17 that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom? Hallelujah. I can imagine transforming, just bursting out of a self-imposed prison, like how the Hulk character busts out of his clothes when he transforms. So are you transforming? Several scriptures inform this concept, including 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which Minister Jonathan will cover. And, of course, there's Romans 12:2, which says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. If you want to change how you deal with things, you have to change how you think about things. And if you want to be spiritually healed, given the result of your spiritual checkup, you have to be willing to follow the spiritual directions that come from God. You need to follow the word. In your spiritual checkup, I brought up things like blood pressure, eyesight, and mental cognition. But I could have used just about any bodily function to illustrate. For example, we have reflexes. When a doctor takes that little hammer and strikes your knee, he or she is expecting an automatic response if everything is working properly. In the same way, when you are spiritually healthy, certain responses are expected. If you automatically respond with love and forgiveness when you are met with hate, your reflexes demonstrate you are spiritually healthy. Same can be said of taking your temperature. If you are too cold or too hot, this is evidence that something needs to be dealt with to restore the natural or ideal temperature range. Situations flare up here in the natural where there is a time to go hot on an issue that needs to be dealt with, but there's also a time to go cold and let something go. When we've allowed the Holy Spirit to take up residence, we are tapped into the Holy Spirit. We will know because the Lord will tell us when we need to address an issue and just how to do it. And we'll know whether to go hot or cold. When we started, I asked if you would rather lose your way walking or lose your way driving. And I know you do not want to be lost at all. But if I just had to get lost, I would say walking. My reason for this is that while walking, I'm covering less distance than if I'm driving. The thing about getting lost is that when you do your correction, you have to make up the distance from the error. So if veering off course is important to notice as quickly as possible. Agree? Same is true of our Christian walk. We're going to at times not follow the lamp onto our feet or the light onto our path. But when that happens, stop. Talk to God and get right back on track. We don't have to worry about him turning the lights off or moving the signs or the GPS not working. None of that. He has embedded the way into our DNAs, pierced it into our hearts and minds. So unless we choose to follow another voice, we will always be moving in the right direction. I know we have been using examples of guideposts, gauges, and markers in our Christian journey, but always be mindful that as we are being transformed on this side, we will not make it to our ultimate destination. Still, we should always continue to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So that brings me to homework or reflection. No one, I mean, if I could get you to raise your hands out there, I know nobody would raise your hand on this one. Wanting to be a phony? Wanting to be an imposter, we don't want to be malpracticing Christians worthy of being called quacks, right? So here's what I want you to reflect on. Are you moving in the right direction or have you stopped? How is your pacing? If you've stopped or feel that you're moving too slowly, try and think about when that happened. With our example of getting lost, you know, we stop. We take stock of where am I right now? Okay, now where did I go wrong on this map? Because if you don't figure out where you went wrong on the map, then it's easy to make the same mistake again and get even more lost than you were before. So, you know, this thing between us and God requires that we stop, we spend some time with just you and him. And I guarantee you, if you do that, if you feel lost at any point, he will help you get back on track. So that's it for me for a while. I just want to say that it has indeed been my pleasure learning right alongside with each of you. You will be in good hands with the continuation of the various teachings that you will get in Sunday school. Assistant Patterson. Pastor Jonathan Tate will be up next week, and he will start his teaching of the next two chapters of 2 Corinthians. And I can't believe I actually have a couple minutes. I said I was going to talk really, really fast to make sure that I got through. And then I was going to say, well, maybe somebody had any questions. But, of course, but I just heard Kathy break in. And we do have a – do you have any questions, Kathy?
Oh, no, it was just a good lesson. And I think I would rather be driving because, you know, it might get dark while I'm walking. And at least I'm driving and I have some safety going on.
Wow, that's a good point. You know what I would say about that is that you always have the safety and comfort of the Holy Spirit. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, I get lost. I mean, I'll say or do something that caused me to end up somewhere I'm like, how did I get here? Oh, because I sinned. But at any point and being lost, I mean, a lot of times we just compound it. Okay, I sinned. So what? I'm a double down, I'm a triple down. But what I have found is when I just stop and say, wait a minute, okay, I blew it, but I don't have to keep getting lost. I can right now go to the one who has all the answers, who knows exactly where I need to be, and ask, what do I do? And I can tell you, well, you know, I've told you. Just so you all know, we're friends. She knows stuff about me. And, you know, he always gives me the answer. And I know he always gives you the answer because I know stuff about her too, y'all.
He sure does. All the time.
Yeah.
And it's important to keep our mind stayed and focused on Jesus because he's the one that protects us and leads us and guides us in all the things that he wants us to do for him.
Yes, indeed. He says he will keep us in perfect peace if our minds stayed on Jesus. Well, let me give a prayer and then I'll hand it over to you officially and we can get our service started.
All right. Okay, good day.
Oh, Lord. Father, now unto you, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever think or ask to imagine to even ask, we pray that it will be so according to your will. Help us heal so that we can be used to your glory according to your power that is at work within us. We pray this morning service will be first evidence of this, as everyone who comes forth does so according to your good and perfect will, consistent with the gifts you have bestowed upon this local ministry known as Runner for Christ Ministries. We thank you for being our rock for 18 years and pledge to continue in the work you have uniquely assigned this local body, indeed, that you have set out for us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Rogers, for the lesson, and just have the best day ever.
You too.
Okay. All right. We're going to have a song, and then after that, we're going to go right into our service. Amen. total praise to you, Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Runner for Christ Ministry Sunday Morning Worship Service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own sister deaconess, Lisa Thornton. Good morning.
Good morning. How
good morning. Wonderful. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Oh, yes. I love the Lord. Oof.
Amen. Take it away, sister.
All righty. Good morning, Blog Talk Radio listeners all over the world. God is good. Man, God is good. I will be reading to you from Romans 12 chapter, the first through the 13th verse, and I will be reading from the New Living Translation. That's Romans 12, first through the 13th verse. A living sacrifice to God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, prayers, and preached word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That scripture perks me up and gives me so much energy. I love
it. Yes.
Yeah, I want to do some things in that scripture. I want to do it
Amen.
All.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
You with me? Yes.
So,
yeah. We get
yes. So thank you, Sister Lisa. We appreciate you and just have the best day ever.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Okay, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been
weakened. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say,
my God is awesome.
Come on, if you know he's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
The whole world.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes,
I'm healed. My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it.
Awesome.
Come on, somebody.
Amen. He is truly the awesome God. There's nobody like him. Amen. He loves us, and I love saying this, just because he wants to. Amen. I want to thank everybody who's gone before. Amen. This moment, Deaconess June Rogers, the excellent work she did on chapters 1 through 3. And I want you to know that these shows are always available 24/7, 365 for free. And can't give enough thanks to God for Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, a presiding person. And amen. And I just love hearing Lisa. I call her Lisa, amen, because you just got to say her name twice. She's really awesome. You meet her on the street, she's going to be just like you hear on the radio, amen. She is awesome. And I just cannot thank God enough for everybody who is already coming, for those who are coming. God's been good to us for 18 years. Amen. It took him 6 months to convince me to do this, and then I was hard-headed for 3 more months, and amen, he did it anyway. Yeah, it took me, a person who skipped church 24/7, 365, turned him into a pastor. Amen. Jesus can do anything. Amen. What it took, and before God going to start doing amazing things in your life, if you're looking for the Lord to do some amazing things, like you see him doing amazing things in other people's lives, these next two songs that we're going to listen to, amen, I cannot thank Pastor Janice Tate enough. She's the amen, music master at our church. And, Lord have mercy, when we get back to church, she can have her job back. But anyway, praise God. Amen. But anyway, these two songs, she's the one that hooked me up with William McDowell. And these two songs, one of them says, recognizes that 1 Corinthians 6 say, we belong, we were bought at a price. And then the other one is about what Dr. Tony Evans was talking about this morning. It's one thing to be saved and eternity is set, but what about history? What about right now? What about before we get to heaven? Okay, to get that, we have to give ourselves away. So remember that as we listen to these songs. Amen. How precious it is to belong to the Lord, and how awesome it is that we show gratitude by giving ourselves away so he can actually use us. Amen. I belong.
is not my own.
Here I am, Lord, my life.
by you.
So you can use me. I give myself away.
Give myself away so God can use us. Pastor, that first song, my God, is awesome. And I know everybody was singing their debut solo about how awesome God is. And when we return to church, Sister Janice put me on the list to sing that song. My God is awesome. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Amen. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own brother, associate pastor, Jonathan Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
God provides
So why do I worry about my life when you come to my rescue 1,000 times? Every other voice, it is a lie. God provides, God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, he multiplies. Just when I feel he won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I
Father, oh, that we could realize that you always provide, that you always come through. My heart continues to be overjoyed, Lord, for what you've done for me, for all of my life, Lord. But recently, Lord, you allowed me to connect with my earthly father after being estranged for 44 years. I'm a witness of your provision. I'm a witness of your love and your attention to detail. I'm a witness to you first loving me before I was formed in the womb. I'm a witness for the path that you've laid out for me. And you've been so faithful and loyal to me. Help me to be the same in return. Help me to show my love in action. And I pray that for all my brothers and sisters around the world, that we show our loyalty, that we show our love in return. When we sin, Lord, it breaks your heart. It causes you to grieve. So right now, Lord, we ask for forgiveness for all of our sins, Lord. We confess all of our sins before you, the ones that we know and the ones that we don't know, the ones that we realize and the ones that we don't. We lay them at your feet because we know that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, there's a lot of people who are hurting in this world. There's a lot of people who are going through. We pray right now, Lord, that those folks would draw close to you for your love and your protection, your provision and your healing, your restoration and your guidance. Help us, Lord, to remember that we can't just treat you like a genie, that we need to submit to you and live our lives to you, for you, that they may be holy and acceptable, Lord, to you. We say thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for these 18 years together as a collective body at Running for Christ Ministries. We thank you for Pastor O. We thank you for Sheila, Lord. We thank you for each and every one that's been attached. Those who are here, Lord, and those who have gone on to glory, we thank you, Lord, for each and every one. Bless us and move us through this service, Lord. Take the butterflies away from Pastor O. Use him to be a pure vessel of your word right now. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Pastor, Associate Pastor Jonathan, and just thank you for that and bless that reunification testimony, and it just shows that God will provide, and thank you for making our request known to God. Amen. All right. I have truly enjoyed the service, and I hope you are too, and as we continue, I'd like to say thank you for allowing me to serve as your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Okay, time for the preach word, a message from God, the best part, icing on the cake. the next voice you will hear to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own Sister Deaconess June Rogers. Let's prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers as she comes in her own way after this song. Amen.
Amen. You heard earlier Deaconess June Rogers talking about DMX, and, you know, I heard DMX with, you know, him and the Rough Riders for years, and Eve and all of them, amen. But that was the secular side. And then one day I saw him on television, and he was giving an interview with somebody, and he had made his confession for Christ, just made the rest of my hair fall off. Anyway, he had written this song. And it was a song of a man who was in love with Jesus but struggling to live for Jesus, struggling to find the strength to make that total flip. And all of us are going to do that until we leave here. And look, ain't none of us perfect. And some of us cuss just like he did. Amen. Some of us, amen. I ain't going to even get into it. Y'all know what we do, right? And Jesus know what we do, so ain't no fronting around here, right? DMX loved the Lord. I've seen so many things that he wrote from his heart about his relationship with Jesus Christ and how thankful he was to God that anybody, that the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, would speak to him. Now, a lot of his life was the result of his mother having taken him to an orphanage or a foster care home. Foster care put him in the foster care system, and he asked her, "What are we doing here? Where are we going?" And she told him, "Well, we're going over here." And when they got over there, he said, "What are we going here for?" And she left him there. And that's how his life began. No childhood except in the foster care system. And so when we look at the things that he went through, you kind of understand why DMX was the man he was. But I will never be able to thank God enough because, amen, this song he wrote just says it all. And I know some folk on trip be like, you know, that's rap. I don't care. Amen. Listen to the words. See you on the other side of this song.
Yeah, in the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Preach.
And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, thou shalt
Preach.
Condemn.
Lord, give me a sign.
For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord.
Preach.
And their righteousness is of me, said the Lord.
Preach.
Amen.
Lord, give me a sign.
I really need to talk to you, Lord. Since the last time we talked, the walk has been hard. Now I know you haven't left me, but I feel like I'm alone. I'm a big boy now, but I'm still not grown. And I'm still going through it. Pain and a hurt. Soaking up trouble like rain in the dirt. And I know only I can stop the rain with just a mention of my Savior's name. In the name of Jesus. Devil, I rebuke you for what I go through and trying to make me do what I used to. But all that stops right here. As long as the Lord's in my life, I will have no fear. I will know no pain from the light to the dark. I will show no shame, spit it right from the heart. Cause it's right from the start. You held me down and ain't nothing they can tell me now. Lord, give me a sign.
Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all in time. Show me how to teach the mind. Show me how to reach the blind.
Lord, give me a sign.
Show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you. Cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do.
Lord, give me a sign.
Please show me something. I'm tired of talking to him knowing he's fighting. Crying about life ain't nothing. But you either be the one mad cause you trapped or the one hunting.
Come on.
Trapped in your own mind waiting on the Lord.
Yeah.
A hunting with the word that cuts like a sword. The spoken word is stronger than the strongest man. Carries the whole world like the strongest man. Through the trials and tribulations, you never let us down, Jesus. I know you're here with us now, Jesus. I know you're still with us now. Keep it real with us now. I want to feel, show me how, please. Let me take your hand, guide me.
What?
I walk slow, but stay right beside
please.
Me. Devil's trying to find
please.
Me, hide me. Hold up, I take that back. Protect me and give me the strength to fight.
Lord, give me a sign.
Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all in time. Show me how to teach.
Wow, that was thought-provoking. You know, the word, I guess, that I'm picking up this morning from the songs and from the prayer and the song I just heard, it's just encouragement. You know, people need encouragement. In order to encourage, we have to love. And if we love, we're going to try to find out what encourages that person. And so while rap music may not be for everyone, there are people who will be encouraged by it. And if we want to see them encouraged and we want to see them saved, then we have to remember that we need to consider that person. So, all right. Pastor has asked me to read this morning Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And his sermon subject today is the church that Jesus Christ built, and this will be part one. It is written, "In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, 'Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?' He replied, 'The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.' After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go.' This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. And what blessed people of God we are. We just need to remember that we are blessed. Like the apostles in our modern times, we are impatient for God to show the world that we are somebody. We often can be found staring into the sky as if we are lost. But you know he is with us even now, and he has blessed us with what we are to do as we await his physical return. Among the instructions during our wait of his promised return is for us to meet together like we are doing right now. No, we're not physically housed in a building, yet still we are all together in this virtual space and real time. Thanks be to God that he made this venue possible. The call to us in Hebrews 10 not only covers our assembling together as believers, it charges us to think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, just as Pastor Overall has committed his life to. I am grateful that Pastor O answered the call, that he is willing to put in the work so he can correctly explain the word of truth. Are you ready to have Pastor O tell us more about the church that Jesus built according to Acts chapter 1? Yes? I think I hear some yeses out there. Well, then repeat this after me. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon June Rogers. I really appreciate that. And again, tell my boy Ray I said, what's up? Amen.
All right. God bless.
Hey, go in there and sing a whole song to him. He'll enjoy that.
Trying to get me murdered.
Amen. God bless. Hey, man, you got to meet. If you ain't met them together, you know, you got to meet them. You're going to be like, wow, Jesus is real. Hey, man, God bless. It's good to see you this morning. Good to know you're there this morning. And we thank God for you tuning into our Sunday school, which was taught by Deaconess June Rogers. And on next week, you're going to get the chance to hear Pastor Jonathan Tate. He's going to be teaching chapters, I think it's 4 and 5. Awesome chapters, too. Amen. So looking forward to that. Can't thank God for enough for these 18 years. Amen. 18 years at Running for Christ Ministries. Lord, have mercy. Let me pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you for the church that Jesus built. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that when this little series is done, we will understand and be refocused, be reminded why you built the church. And Jesus, we're doing a whole lot of stuff today. It don't have nothing to do with church. Don't have nothing to do with saving souls, teaching saved souls, or extending your love to the saved and the unsaved by acts of benevolence. So help us, Lord, to be rerooted, regrounded. Help us to come back to the reason you created the church in the first place. And I want to personally thank you, Jesus. I know I was a bit hard-headed. 6 months, well, a total of 9 months, I was kind of not in agreement with you, with me being a pastor or an organizer of a church, since I didn't know how to do either, and was a horrible church member, joined the same one 6 times. But I thank you for being persistent, and you did it. We're here because of you. And I thank you for doing every single thing you said you would do. You didn't leave nothing out. And you did it exactly like you said you would. You brought all these people here, Kathy June and all the rest of them, Janice and Jonathan and Terrence and Pastor John Mack and Pastor Janine Folks, and gave me all that help to help me preach, and all these teachers, Jesus, I don't even want to be, all these deacons and deaconesses who actually know how to teach the word. I thank you for what you're doing, and I know you're going to keep on. Even after I'm gone, you're going to still keep on, and you have clearly shown me that you built Running for Christ, so it'll be here when I'm gone, and I want to just thank you for allowing me to have this part of organizing, getting it started. And I know, Lord, you know who you've selected to go forward after me, so I pray for them. And ask your blessing on them. I know they're about cracking up right now, but bless them, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. You know, every time I pray that prayer about me being gone, the Lord interrupt me and tell me, you got a lot of work to do, so you can forget that being gone for a while. Amen. And you know, I told him that 18 years ago, and here we are 18 years later, and apparently it's still more work to be done. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And then bless my heart so it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I'm here to be transformed, to change the way I think, to lose my conformity to this world, and to be transformed into a whole new world, so I can always know what your good, pleasing, and perfect will is for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I love it being a Christian because you're singular, right, and yet corporate at the same time. You can pray to Jesus about you, amen, but you are also included with the rest of your brothers and sisters. Why? Because we're the body of Christ. And if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right, you'll see we all belong to each other. But that's a whole nother sermon. Today I want to talk to you about the church that Jesus built. And I know when some folks heard that, they said, wow, you're preaching the title of your book. No, the church was around before my book. Amen. And this is what inspired it. And thank God, I cannot thank God enough for Carmen Abraham. Amen. The daughter of my counselor, Sharon Abraham. Yes, he's my counselor. When I get all twisted up, that's where I go. But anyway, amen. She is the one who led to the book being written. Okay. I was teaching Christian history, and apparently I was shoving it down their throats, and they didn't like that. And nobody would say nothing, but Carmen, she couldn't take it no more. She said, you need to do something because this ain't working. And I went home and told the Lord on her, and he asked me, did I hear what she said? Yeah, that's the way he do me with her mother when I complained about her because she done told me something. And he'll say, did you hear what she said? I'm like, so now I got to listen to both of them. Amen. And then Alana, amen. Anyway, it's a whole family thing. But anyway, amen. But anyway, Carmen urged me to find a different way to teach Christian history. And so what it boiled down to was 1 hour. And in that 1 hour, we watched the video, and then we would talk about what we saw in the video so we can get an understanding. Then we went home. It worked. We managed to push 28 people through that Christian history class, and amen, from AD 30 up to that present day, okay, when we ended that first time we taught it. Amen. So I want to thank Carmen Abraham, because if it wasn't for her, there'd be no the church Jesus built. Amen. Not written by me, amen, who can't write. But anyway, she inspired me, and it turned out what was taken, you're going to crack up when you hear this, what took the first time 2 years, because of her, it got shaved down to 12 weeks. Or if you're an avid reader, like my brother Minister Richard overall from Word of Faith, when I gave him one of the rough copies, he started reading and read the first 1,000 years and then called me and told me he did it and was going into the second 1,000 years. So if you're an avid reader, you could do like him and do it in a day, or you could take 12 hours, 1 hour a day, and read the whole and get caught up on your Christian history. But anyway, that's where the book, The Church That Jesus Built, came from. It was when the Lord taught me, amen, the history of the church. Its birth, its growth, and its expansion. And when I got to the end of the book of Acts, I was right around AD 60, 61, and I'm like, okay, Jesus, what happened after this? He said, now you're really going to have to do some studying, because I had to start with the Roman historian Tacitus, Flavius Josephus, a bunch of other historians who wrote throughout throughout those, I would say, 2,000 years, amen, those folks who wrote from AD 30 to that present day, you know, 2015, somewhere around there, amen. All of those folks wrote, and they talked about Christianity, but they weren't Christians. And so you could believe their report, because they didn't have no reason to, they didn't love Christians, especially the Roman writer Tacitus or Procopius. You know, he was a Greek, okay? But they wrote about it because it was happening. Amen. So Christianity then, I noticed, was the best way to study it out and to find out how the church that Jesus built survived from AD 30 to today, okay, is to look at how Christianity was affecting the world and how the world was affecting it. So I actually had to study world history first from Genesis to our day, and then study Christian history from AD 30 to our day. And then you come up with the whole answer. And then you can sit down and start writing. But again, what Jesus wanted in the church that Jesus built, the book he had me write, was something that wouldn't be like the books I've studied from. Okay, I studied Robert's first book on Christian history. Then I studied Robert's second book with John Langston on Christian history. And I studied Bruce L. Shelley's book on Christian history and some other things. Read a whole bunch of stuff, okay? But Jesus wanted all that pared down to 12 hours or 12 weeks, and we did that. So that's what I want to talk to you about, not my book, but about the church that Jesus built. I love this time of year because every time we come around our church anniversary, which is now 18 years of what Jesus has done, amen, that's some awesome stuff. If you could have only been there back in June of 2002 when he came to me, I was at the drag strip skipping church, and he told me this is what he wanted me to do. And I got so interested in what he wanted me to do, I intentionally lost the next round of racing, put my car on the trailer, and began to ride home. And that's when he began talking to me about Running for Christ Ministries. Went through a whole lot in 9 months, but, amen, it got done. It wasn't his fault. It was kind of like me not wanting to be this. But anyway, last week was Resurrection Sunday. It is when Jesus rose from the grave. It is when our Lord and Savior, who had been crucified on that Friday, okay, went and preached to the antediluvian folks, either that Friday or Saturday, the folks who died during the flood, to show them that Noah was telling you the truth. He went to validate everything that Noah told those folks. Amen? And then on the third day, he left the antediluvian folks and came back to the tomb, and the angels rolled away the stone, not so Jesus could come out. Amen? Because we know Jesus said in John chapter 10, I got the power to lay my life down and pick it up again anytime I want to. So he knew he was coming out. Now, you say, well, then why did he pray, Father, if there's another way to do this, can you show that to me? Because Jesus had a real human body. How do you feel when you know you have to go get a shot? Or the dentist? What about the dentist? Or, Lord, help, surgery. Amen. Yeah, well, Jesus could look, because he was fully God, he could look forward and see what was happening to him right after he got arrested at Annie's house, getting slapped in the face till he started bleeding out the mouth. And then when he got with Caiaphas and that bunch, well, they just tied him up and beat the crap out of him and said, prophesy to us, who hit you? Oh, talking about, that's when I came to understand what the word they mocked him meant. They made fun of him. They treated him like he wasn't nobody. And because God didn't put words in his mouth or fighting in his fist, he couldn't do nothing. Just get beat. That's what he was praying about in the garden. And Lord help when the Romans got a hold to him after the Jews got through with it. Well, they tried to rip his skin off his body. Amen? Pilate literally had to stop them from what they were doing to him, or there wouldn't have been nothing to put on the cross. Jesus had to keep himself alive through all of that so he could go to the cross and give up his life for us. When he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, it is finished, it's over, it's done, your holiness, your justice, your righteousness, it's all satisfied. Oh, but when Jesus got up on Sunday, God's holiness, satisfied. God's justice, satisfied. God's righteousness, satisfied. Now God can do what? Woo, he can give us what we don't deserve. That's called mercy. Amen. He can give us his loving kindness and his mercy, and he's going to keep doing it. Why? Because that's all undergirded by his love. It's driven by love. And God loves to love. That's why he is love. Amen. So Jesus got up. Now, Jesus had told his disciples three times he was going to Jerusalem, going to get crapped out by the Jews, and get strung up and hung up by the Romans. But I'm going to get up on the third day. Well, they believed and they realized and experienced all the other stuff. But the third day thing didn't just sit well with them. Who comes back from a Roman crucifixion? Nobody. Yeah, Lazarus got up out of the grave, you say. Yeah, well, Jesus was the one got him up. Now he the one that's toe up, huh? So the disciples were hiding out in the upper room. Now, Mary and some of the other women, these are the first women. Jesus appeared to these Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and these other women. Their names, you can look it up. Or if you get my first book, Jesus Christ, from his birth to his ascension, it is all laid out in order in there. And you will read it like you never read it before. Amen. All the work the Lord put me through to make it work like that. That's why I didn't like the idea of lowering the price, and I'll be honest with you, but Jesus said it's more important that the book get out than that the profit be made. So I went with what he said, and to praise God, Lord, because he wants people to know the story so well that they can just go out and talk it and tell it without a Bible in their hand or not saying, hey, let me phone a friend. Amen. Be able to tell the story. He wants us to be like Philip. You know when Philip met up with the Ethiopian and the Ethiopian was reading out of Isaiah 53, I think it is, and Philip said, do you understand what you're reading, Ethiopian? Like, how can I? You heard Deaconess June Rogers say that before I get to preach all the time. How can I unless some man explains it to me? Well, guess what? God wants us, Jesus wants us to be that man, that woman that explains him to them. Amen. So anyway, they didn't know Jesus was going to rise. They didn't have no concept at all of anybody coming back from a Roman crucifixion. They didn't play. The Greeks started impaling people on poles, but it was the Romans who perfected it. And again, I said it last week, I'll say it again. If you ever get an opportunity, study crucifixion and you will see what Jesus went through for you. And that'll make it easy for you to do what he asked us to do, because if he can go through that for us, come on, somebody. Anyway, Mary Magdalene, and you can tell they didn't quite understand the concept that he was going to get up because it was a rush deal on Friday. It was about 3 o'clock when they took Jesus off the cross. That means that the Sabbath was dawning, okay, which would be at 6 o'clock. So they needed to hurry up and get him into Joseph of Arimathea's borrowed tomb, okay, him and Nicodemus, a couple of Pharisees who worship Jesus as undercover Christians. You know them kind of day. We got them. The kind of Christian who say, I ain't tell nobody I'm a Christian. I just live the life, and I don't tell nobody nothing. If they want to come to Jesus, they will. Amen. God can't do nothing with that kind of Christian. Amen. He needs somebody who wants to open up their mouth and say something. Amen. So Mary Magdalene, they come to the grave to finish dressing Jesus' body because of the rush situation on Friday. Amen. And when they get there, it's Mary first, and the other women are not far behind her. But when she gets there, she finds out that the stone is rolled away and the tomb is open. And then the other women catch up, and the angel pops up and tells them, I know you're looking for Jesus. He ain't here. And he told you he was going to rise on the third day. Now go tell his disciples he is risen. Now watch this. See, you see, one thing I didn't, when they went, it seems like they went straight to tell Peter now. Amen. They went to tell Peter now. But guess what? Before they went to tell Peter, Jesus showed up and appeared to them. And you know, it's interesting. The women were the last ones, along with John, the only one of the 12. Of course, Judas, I should say the 11, because Judas gone to hell. And he done killed himself and wouldn't ask Jesus to forgive him. So that was his fault. Amen. That's because he didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. Didn't believe he was the Christ. Amen. So Judas is gone. And so there's the 11. So the women, Jesus shows up to these women because they were the last ones at the cross. So why shouldn't they be the first ones to see Jesus risen from the dead? And that's the way that went. And so women, men don't like this, but women were the first ones to go and preach a gospel message. They were the first ones to proclaim. That's what the word means over in Matthew 28. When you read the King James Version, it says preach the gospel to every creature, or proclaim. It means proclaim the gospel. But what they did was they went back and preached the gospel. They said he died, didn't he die? And they stayed dead part of Saturday. Then he went and preached to the antediluvian people. Then early Sunday morning, he got up. They were the first ones to say that he was crucified, he was buried according to the scriptures, and raised on the third day. Now, the disciples apparently didn't believe her, so they ran, Peter and John, to the tomb. Now, John outran Peter, and you can tell something about his character, okay, his personality. He was more like a deliberative kind of guy. He stopped at the opening of the tomb and looked in, and he saw the evidence of Jesus' burial tunic just laid there, and then they saw the shroud that would be over his face separate from the rest of it. But when Peter got there, when Peter finally got there, he ran, you know, Peter, he is not deliberate at all. He just ran straight up in there. Amen. Tells you something about Peter. He wanted to see his Jesus. Amen. And it wasn't there. So they left. Amen. But Mary had come back with them. And Mary, amen, is hanging around. And Jesus appears to her. Now, it's funny. She recognizes Jesus because of his voice. When Jesus says, Mary, at first he played a game with her. She thought he was a gardener. And she said, sir, if you've taken away, please tell me where you put him and I'll go and get him. Okay. But Jesus played a game with her. Jesus said, woman, who are you and who you looking for? She said, Jesus. And then when Jesus stood up and looked at her, and he said, now she didn't really recognize him after the resurrection. But when he said, Mary, she knew it was him, and she responded by saying, Rabboni, which means teacher. Amen. And she ran and hugged him, wanted to hold on to him. Now, it's when she leaves, the other women come up, and that's when Jesus meets with them. Amen. Now, the second people to see Jesus after he rose from the dead, you know, I did some study with a man. His name is Ray Downing. He's a computer imaging scientist. And he astounded me. I think it was my wife who went out and got this DVD, and it's called The Lost 40 Days. And my book is The Last 40 Days. But he calls it The Lost 40 Days. And that's what intrigued me. What does he mean, The Lost 40 Days? Was Jesus lost for 40 days? No, The Lost 40 Days simply talks about the days after Jesus rose from the dead. You don't hear a whole lot of preachers preach about that. You don't hear a whole lot of people even talk about that. But that is our proof of the resurrection or evidence of the resurrection that we have to offer in favor of Jesus being the Christ. He is risen. Everybody, even Roman writer Tacitus, will tell you that Jesus was crucified. You search the historical records of Jerusalem of that day, it will tell you Jesus Christ, the man called Christ, was crucified. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Where the ambiguity starts, where the problem starts, is the resurrection. And that's why Jesus gave them many convincing proofs that he was truly alive. Because even when he appeared to his disciples, some doubted. So anyway, the second appearance is to the men on the road to Emmaus. They were his disciples. They had waited and hoped. It's Sunday. They had hoped, and they had heard some of the women come and say that Jesus was risen, but the Bible says that they looked at them like they was crazy. So they're walking their way on back to Emmaus, which is 7 miles from Jerusalem, probably a 6 to a 9 hour walk. And guess what? Jesus shows up. But they don't recognize him. And Jesus asked them, what are you talking about as you're walking along the road here? And they said, you must be, where you been? You must have been on the other side of the planet. How could you not know what just happened in Jerusalem just 3 days ago? The man Jesus, who we had hoped was the Messiah, the one who come and save us from our sins and restore Israel and all his greatness. Well, we had big hopes that he was the Messiah, but the Romans got it. Twisted him up, tore him up, and put him in the grave. Now, some of the women came and told us that he rose, but we think they're crazy. So Jesus started walking with them, and he started with all of the scriptures that spoke about him having to be crucified and risen from the dead. Again, we find this. They knew he was going to Calvary. They knew he was going to be crucified. He told them he was going to get up, but again, we find they don't believe he got up. They have no concept at all of a risen Christ. So as they're walking along the road, Jesus opens up to them all of the scriptures that talked about him going to the cross and dying. Amen. And so he is asked by them when they come to the end of the walk to, he act like he was going to keep on going somewhere, but it's almost 6 o'clock and it's a full day is gone. So, amen. They advise Jesus to come in and stay with him so he don't be out here at night with the bandits and the marauders and end up getting jacked. So they invited him to come home with them. Now, they sit down to supper. Now, watch how Mary recognized Jesus because his voice. But watch how they recognized Jesus. Show you how familiar they were with his mannerisms. When Jesus broke the bread, their eyes came open. Because before, God put the cloaking device on Jesus, or Jesus put the cloaking device on, and they didn't know who he was, even though they were his disciples. If God don't want you to see, you ain't going to see. If God wants you to see, you're going to see when God wants you to see. So don't be trying to see something, amen, that God is not ready for you to see yet, because you're not going to see it until he get ready for you to see it. So when they saw Jesus break that bread, Jesus knew, if I do this, they're going to know who I am. They're going to remember. And their eyes came open, and they recognized, and Jesus disappeared. Now, guess what? They got running in their feet. That's where old folks get that from. Old folks say running in their feet. They got running in their feet. They ran all the way back to Jerusalem, 7 miles. And it's still Sunday. Okay? They left Sunday morning, got to the crib. It was about to be night. They went back. It's still Sunday. Why? Because Jesus appears to his disciples on Sunday. This is now his third appearance after his resurrection. Amen. The men on the road to Emmaus can't even hardly get through telling their story. And here Jesus is standing in the room. The door was locked, though. But Jesus is in the room. Tell you something about that glorified body. It don't need to open a door to get inside somewhere. Amen. That's the kind of body we're going to have. But that's a whole other sermon. But that's the kind of body we're going to have when Jesus come back to get us. Amen. So Jesus now appears to his 12 disciples, but Thomas is not there. And the Bible says that when Jesus appeared to his 12 disciples, he even ate some food in their presence, because some of them was right there seeing the risen Jesus, thinking he was a ghost. The Bible says when he appeared to them in Galilee on that mountain in Matthew, some doubted. How you going to doubt? You saw him tow up from the floor. Well, they didn't see it. John told them about it, and the women told them about it, and they know he was put in the grave, and now here he is standing in the midst of them. And so Jesus eats food to show them that spirits don't have flesh and bones. But I do. Believe. I'm risen. This is me. Look at the nail prints in my wrist. The wrist was a part of the hand if you study Greek right. Amen. So look at the nail prints in my wrist. Look at my side. It's all punched up, okay? I got these marks just to show you that this is me. They don't recognize him. Wow. What does Jesus look like glorified? All these people don't even know what he looked like. Now, Thomas comes in later. Jesus done popped out. Thomas comes in later on that Sunday. And the disciples say, we just saw Jesus. He's like, y'all crazy. I ain't going to believe unless I see the nail prints in his wrist and see the pierced side. That, since Thomas wasn't at the cross, that lets you know the women or John told him about the, amen, the crucifixion and the marks that they should look for to know that it's Jesus, because they weren't there. They all went on vacation real quick, thinking what happened to Jesus was going to happen to them. So now it's 8 days later. Yes, this is Sunday. The Bible says 8 days later, Jesus appears again. This time, Thomas is there. And Jesus did that same thing, just come right through the wall. Now they say, Thomas looks at Jesus like, oh, snap. And Jesus says to Thomas, come here, look at these nail prints, touch them. Come here, look at this in my side, touch it. Now, Jesus wasn't there when Thomas said that, but he's demonstrating to Thomas that he's omnipresent. Even if he ain't present, he's present. Even if his ears ain't in the room, he still hears. Don't y'all remember when Philip went to get Nathanael, and when Nathanael got where Jesus was, Jesus said, I knew you. I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. He knew then that Jesus was present without being present. He's omnipresent. He's in his human body over here, but he's as full God over here. Amen. So Thomas looks at Jesus and says, my Lord and my God. And you know what Jesus said to Thomas? You believe because you touchy-feely and you see me. Listen, y'all. Blessed are those who believe in me and have not seen me. We're those folks. Jesus prayed over in John chapter 20 John chapter 17 down around verse 20 said, Father, I'm not just praying for these under my voice right now, right here, but for everyone who will believe on me according to their word. We are those people. Now look, I talk about talking here and being with Jesus all the time, but I ain't never seen Jesus. But I know Jesus be talking to me through the Holy Spirit. God talks to Jesus. Jesus talks to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit talks to me. John 16 tells me that, 12 through 15. Read it sometime. That's how he deals with us. Amen. Now let's go to the fifth appearance of Jesus after he rose from the dead during these lost 40 days. Amen. That nobody likes to seem to talk about. Amen. Now the disciples are back in Galilee, and they've been roaming around with Jesus for about 3 years. They kind of broke, need some money to get them bills paid. So it's about seven of them together, and Peter says, I'm going fishing. I need some money. I don't even want to go back home and see my wife and ain't got no money. So I'm going fishing. We're going to catch them. So they fish all night long, ain't caught nothing. Hey, man, you ever do that? Try real, real hard, nothing worked. Pretty much like the way my last week went working on my race truck. I did one little bitty thing, and it ain't through yet. But anyway, praise God, it'll get done. Amen. So they fished all night and caught nothing. Then there's a man standing on the shore. Once again, they don't recognize Jesus, and they have spent 3 years with him up close. They should know his voice. They should know his walk. They should know his talk. So he says to them, young man, did you catch anything? And they said, no, we ain't caught nothing. We done fished all night, ain't caught nothing. Then Jesus says, cast your net over on the right side, and you going to take in a draw. So they threw it over on the right side and couldn't even pull the net back in. Why, it had 153 fish in it. How I know that? That's what John said. Amen. And then John recognized it's the Lord. And so Peter, oh, here we go again. John is deliberative. It's the Lord, but he ain't go nowhere, right? Like the tomb deal. But it, now Peter, who had been took off his clothes and just had his underwear, I guess it's just his underwear on. It was all men. There wasn't nobody, you know, wasn't none of that. Amen. So Peter jumped, put his robe, his tunic on, jumped in the water, swam to Jesus. And you know Jesus. Jesus said, have you... bring some of the fish that you caught, and that's how I know it was 153 of them. But Jesus already had dinner going, or lunch, or whatever it was, breakfast, whatever. They was going to have grits and eggs and fish, amen, right there on the beach with Jesus. So that is his fifth appearance to them after his resurrection, which brings us to the sixth appearance of Jesus, which brings us to the passage of Scripture that you heard Deaconess June Rogers read. Amen. Luke tells us, we're about to lose some of y'all in about 10 seconds, but you can hear the entirety of this message once it shows up on our Blog Talk Radio player. All you have to do is go to, amen, rfcm.org, and just click on Bible Classes, and I believe the Blog Talk player is right there. Just click that on, and you can hear this service in its entirety right up to the end. Amen. We thank you for tuning in. I know you're getting ready to drop out if you're listening by PC. But if you're on your phone, stay on because I'm still going. Amen. Amen. The sixth appearance of Jesus will be his last appearance. Okay, while he is actually here on earth, there'll be six more appearances of Jesus. Amen. But you have to read about them throughout the book of Acts. So anyway, there's a total of 12 appearances after his resurrection. Amen. And we should know them all, because that is the proof that we have been given by him to offer up in favor of his existence, because Jesus ain't going to let you put him in your hand and say, see, this Jesus. See them little bitty nail marks and stuff? This Jesus. And so you should believe. We don't have that. All we have is our testimony, and that is powerful. You remember when the story Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus? Amen. Said the rich man fared sumptuously every single day, but Lazarus didn't have nothing. Well, what's common to us all, no matter if we had a lot or a little, they both died. Okay, the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell and was in torment, which the Bible says. And so Amen. At the end of the whole thing, when he couldn't get his way no other way, he asked Abraham to send Lazarus back so he could tell his brothers about the reality of hell, amen, so they wouldn't end up there, amen. And you know what he said? No, I ain't sending Lazarus back nowhere. The same people you heard preaching is the same people they can hear preaching. Lazarus heard them people preaching and believed, and he over here hooked up. Your brothers better believe if they don't want to end up where you at. So, amen, this is the proof. This is the evidence. As Abraham said to the rich man, Dives they call him because that means rich man, okay, they have the prophets. They have the writings of Moses. They got the whole Old Testament. Let them believe that. You should have believed that. And so now we got both Old and New Testament, and every part of it God has given to us to use as proofs that Jesus is the Christ and is risen from the dead, amen, and is accepted anybody who just believes. But if we don't have these proofs, if we don't know, how many people knew that Jesus appeared to his disciples six times before he ascended? So on this sixth time, it says in my first book, I told you, Theophilus. Now you go to Luke chapter 1. Listen to Luke. Go to Luke chapter 1 with me real quick. Amen. And before I run out of time here. Now we're in Luke chapter 1. Listen to this. This is the beginning of it all because that's Luke's second book, Acts. This is his first book. He says, many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They use the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. See, they took those proofs, compiled them into a book, and made a case for Jesus being the Christ. Amen. If you ever get a chance, Lee Strobel got a DVD out, and it's called A Case for Christ. I think Executive Board President Sharon Abraham gave me that one time for one of them days. Amen. And, Lord have mercy, you got to read it. He's a scientist, right? And he's going to disprove to his wife who done got extra in church, and he gonna disprove to her that Jesus ain't even real. God ain't even real. None of it's real. Well, guess what? Now he an advocate for Christ. Don't mess with Jesus. Many people have set out to write about the accounts and the events fulfilled among us. They used the eyewitness report circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything that you were taught. And when we go back to the book of Acts and we go back to chapter 1, in my first book, Luke's Gospel, I told you Theophilus, who is most excellent, we all know who he is, but everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his disciples or chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to his disciples from time to time. Jesus wasn't with them every day. He would just show up and then be gone. And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. It took 40 days for Jesus to convince his disciples that he was actually alive. Is it that hard for us to believe that somebody can get up from the dead? They probably didn't. Jesus had to go tell them to loose him and let him go concerning Lazarus because they standing there like, oh, no, he didn't. He did not call no dead man out the tomb and he walking in grave clothes. They just standing there. Jesus said, go loose the man and let him go. And he talked with them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but just in a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Why? Well, go to Acts chapter 19, and you read about people trying to go up against demons or the devil and demons, and they don't know God. There were seven sons of Sceva, of a Jewish priest, and they went up against the devil, and they did not have a good time. So Jesus told them, look, y'all need to wait till you get power from on high. Of course, just like us, they got questions. Are you about to restore the kingdom? You know, we so worldly. Are you about to restore the kingdom? The church so worldly today. We're going to talk about it more. This is just part one of this series, and I need to get this out. Amen. Amen. We are so worldly. They asked Jesus, are you about to get a kingdom, the earthly kingdom? Amen. Back to the children of Israel, they have no clue. Jesus told them in Matthew 24 that in A.D. 70, all this stuff is coming down to the ground anyway, and y'all going to be spread out to the four winds. But they're asking Jesus about a location. Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, some of this, Jesus told them, look, that ain't even your business. That's the Father's. Whatever times and dates the Father has set by his own authority, that ain't really none of your business. Jesus refocused them and said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power to do what? To actually be his witness. And you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, that's your house. You heard Crystal talk about it. That's right, your street, your block. Throughout Judea, that's your community. That's your county. That's your state. In Samaria, you know them people in places we always talk about, we ain't never going around them? Well, Jesus wants somebody to go around them and tell them about him. And then when you get through with your little street and your house, and when you get through with your community, your county and your state, when you get through with those folks who you never would talk to before, but now they're Christians and they're cool, and now you take it to the ends of the earth. And the Lord has given us Blog Talk Radio will help you take it to the ends of the earth. Facebook will help you take it to the ends of the earth. Wherever these social media sites, where however far they go, amen, pump Jesus on it. Amen. So, in short, as I come to a close, amen, we're called to be witnesses, y'all. Witnesses to what? To the life of Jesus Christ. And to proclaim his death, his burial, and his resurrection until he comes again. And we don't get bored. Christianity is not a routine thing, and Christianity is not a boring thing. Christianity is brand new and exciting every single day if you're walking with Jesus. When his disciples were walking with him, and we read these accounts from the Gospels that have been compiled to produce a case that you could take to a circumstantial court and say, we believe by preponderance of this evidence that Jesus is more likely to be the Christ than not. Jesus wants us to make a case for him, case for his existence. If we don't do nothing else, we're supposed to be, if we never become teachers of the word of God, we're witnesses that Jesus died and was raised again on the third day. And we are witnesses of that fact. You ought to have the kind of relationship with Jesus that you know he's real no matter what happens in your life. You ought to be able to sit like Paul and Silas in a Philippian jail after being tore up from the floor, feet locked in the stocks, hands chained to the wall, and sing praises to God all the way at midnight. And when we lift Jesus up like that, the Bible says that the jail got tore up. The Bible says that everybody's chains just fell off. They started singing, Mary, Mary popped up in the cell and started singing, take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. And they got saved that night. The jailer, his whole family, everybody got saved. Why? They had power. They had power to be his witnesses. Amen. We are a part of the church that Jesus built. We are a part of the body of Christ, and every part of his body has to do with witnessing. Every part of his body has to do with teaching. The Lord says, study to show yourself approved unto me. Become a workman who don't need to be ashamed, but one who can, in fact, rightly divide this word of truth. So when folks come up to us like the Ethiopian did back in AD 30 when he came up to Philip, and he says to us, how can I accept somebody explains it to me? Those of us who have been filled with the Holy Spirit have been given power to be the one to explain it to them. Amen. I'm going to close with this. This is my real close. Amen. This is the real, real close. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, just two verses, 11 and 12. The Lord says, seek to lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. That's the hard one. And work with your own hands. Watch what he say. He said, you'll get the respect of those on the outside, the unbelievers. And you won't be dependent on anybody but Jesus. I ain't through, but I'm going to quit. Amen. Crystal probably finna hit me or something. Amen. I'm not through, Crystal, but I'm going to quit. Amen. Lord have mercy. Woo, Lord, baby Jesus. Holy Ghost in here. The Holy Ghost and popped up. Baby Holy Ghost. Amen.
Wowie, wowie, wow. Oh, my goodness. You know, I always thought that if I had to say that I was a disciple, I would probably be Peter. You know, he had some issues. He was short-tempered. You know, push out,
you said it.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, I probably have to be Peter. But, you know, after, you know, the crucifixion and everything and, you know, then I think I would have probably changed over, and I probably would have been Thomas. I would have been like, no, I need to see, you know, the I need to see.
I need
a little more proof. I need to see, you know, and that just speaks to our humanity. It's like, you know, sometimes when we don't see things, we don't believe it. But when you believe things is when you actually see it. And like you say, you have not seen Jesus, but you know you walk and talk with him every single day. More likely than not. Okay, he is real. And so I think I would much rather just say that he is and believe him and let my life be as he wants it to be than to give myself over to the enemy. So, I mean, realistically speaking, I mean, who you going to choose? What you going to choose? And it's so funny. I can't, you know, I said I was, you know, I put my 2 weeks notice in yesterday after that show that we had. And so, I actually kind of feel like today I might actually put my 2 weeks notice in and just, you know, make sure that that ends in the next 5 days, because the devotional that I have to read today, obviously, you know, we don't get together before this and say, hey, this is what you read, but the devotional today speaks exactly to what you said. And I'm just over here in absolute awe of how the Lord brings everything together. And I'm so glad I'm going to transition into these announcements, but I'm so glad that, you know, this
okay,
is,
thank
this
you.
Is
I can cut my
series.
Mic off.
Yes. Cut your mic off. Yes. This is going to be a series that you're going to be preaching in for a while. And we just got, you know, the beginning, the foundation of what we're going to be taught about the church that Jesus built. So I am so looking forward to hearing the rest of the sermon series. Like I said, today we only got a little bit of the foundation of what Pastor's going to be talking about. And so I'm really excited to hear everything else is going to come from this. So good morning, everybody. Happy all of our Blog Talk Radio listeners, new and old, who tuned in this morning to our Sunday morning worship service. It has been amazing. If you all did not hear the show yesterday, please go back and listen to the show. It was a wonderful, wonderful show. That's why I said I put in my 2 weeks notice, because by the time I got to announcements yesterday, I was a wore out. The song, the preaching, the prayer. Pastor O did the prayer yesterday, and oh, Lord have mercy. It was, if you didn't listen to yesterday's show, please do. Amen. So it has been mentioned multiple times today, but we have to always and continue to say happy 18th anniversary to Running for Christ Ministries, where we are a ministry of teaching, learning, and doing. God knew exactly what he was doing when he brought this ministry together. And, you know, of course, we thank Pastor O for being obedient and accepting the call, even though he fought a little wave with it, but that's okay, because 9 times out of 10, we all do the exact same thing. You know, the Lord has kept his promises, and he has been faithful to us. And 18 years later, he is still working in us and through us to continue to spread the gospel of Jesus to the ends of the earth. And so we continue to praise God for all that he has done for us at Run for Christ Ministries. Amen. We won't be celebrating in person, but spiritually it seems as though we've probably gotten the hang of celebrating together here on Blog Talk Radio. So each and every Sunday this month, we will be celebrating spiritually, coming together to hear the word and to hear these services. And every Sunday this month, because who doesn't celebrate like a birthday or anniversary the entire month long? So if you don't, well, you should come here, because that's what we're going to be doing this month. So make sure to tune in. Amen. And as always, we always want to acknowledge our pastors at Run for Christ Ministries, Pastor O, Pastor Janice, Pastor Jonathan, Pastor Terrence, Pastor Janine, and Minister John McFall. We're so thankful for them. We're so thankful that God has them all in place to help not only Pastor O, but to help lead and guide the rest of us at Run for Christ Ministries as well as we continue to grow in the Lord. So Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15 says, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." And so we thank you, Pastor O, for being that messenger of good news today, teaching and preaching the word of God to not just us at Run for Christ Ministries, but because of the Blog Talk Radio platform, people all over the world who need to hear the word of God are able to do so. Amen. So just a couple of reminders that our Bible reading class is now held on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Deacon Eric Reed will be teaching 2 Kings chapters 1 through 7. And the questions have been emailed, and they are available online for you to access. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Bible classes, and you will find them there. Also, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., we know Minister Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk Radio. We know that's Pastor O's brother, teaching and preaching in his sermon series, Training Day. So set yourself a reminder each week on Tuesday at 4 p.m. so you can hear Reverend Richard Overall preaching. He used to be here on the 4th and 5th Saturdays on Blog Talk Radio, but he's so full and has so much information that it just wasn't enough time. So he has been promoted, and he now has his own hour that happens every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Full of information, great words, so make sure you tune in. Amen? All right, so Pastor's book, Jesus Christ from His Birth to His Ascension, is $5 off from now until April the 30th. The discount is because of the Easter season that we celebrated last week. So take advantage of the discount. Who don't like a discount? We all like a hookup. $5 is a significant hookup most of the time. So in this case, it's a huge hookup. So, you know, buy the books for your children, your family members, you know, people who may not know the Lord, friends, people in your community, yourself, I mean, just whoever the Lord leads you to. So share the book with them and bless their lives and, of course, your life as well. Amen? So the fourth Wednesday of every month from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. from now until November, First Fruit Living Ministries, as well as Minister Shelley, along with Pastor O, and anyone else who wants to join in. I know Deaconess Lisa, who you heard this morning, she has been out. Deacon Eric Reed has been out. Anybody who wants to join in, you're more than welcome to do so. And they'll be out in front of Running for Christ Ministries right at the bus stop that's right there in front of the church, praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, as well as giving out Bibles and lunches, having conversations with people. So if you're able to make it out on the fourth Wednesday of every month from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., please do. Amen. Amen. So, again, as a reminder, all of our classes and services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Just go to our church website, again, rfcm.org, click on Blog Talk Radio, and you'll have access to all of our classes and services for free. Like Pastor O said this morning, 24/7, 365, okay? So just make sure to listen. I was just thinking about the other day how when I first started listening to Blog Talk Radio, Pastor was on every single day, and he was doing what the Bible says. And we've gone through the Bible several times on Blog Talk. He was on every single day for 2 hours. So you can even go back to all those that are, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years into Blog Talk. I mean, you can just hear them all. So just use them to help you to grow in Christ. You can download them. You can share them. They're for free, again, so please use them. If you want to bless us at Running for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, or if you're a member and you want to pay tithes or give any additional offerings, again, go to the church website, rfcm.org. You'll find the info there. And we would like to thank everyone that faithfully gives to Run for Christ Ministries, even though we're not physically present in the building. And because you continue to support, we've been able to make our initial installment to all of the outreach ministries that we support. So Forgotten Harvest, Salvation Army, Detroit Rescue Mission, Covenant House, Bondage Breaker Ministries, Root Living Ministries. Praise God. We know that these ministries help lots of hurting and struggling people with different variations. You know, we know Minister Janice, Bondage Breaker Ministries, her ministry is over in Kenya. You know, so First Fruit Living Ministries, where, you know, they're out praying and you're giving Bibles and, you know, just doing a lot of different things and just, you know, trying to spread the word of God in any way that we can. So we know that these ministries help lots of hurting and struggling people all year long in just different variations. So we praise God for you. God bless you, and we thank you. And for more info on our outreach, of course, go to our church website, rfcm.org. In addition to this, if you want to give a love offering for the preacher who brought the word to us today, which was Pastor O, please visit his website, pastorgmo.com, pastorgmo.com, and click donate. Amen? Amen. So we know that prayer is simply talking to God, and it's essential to bringing heaven down to earth. John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. And we have been commanded to seek God's help and God's hand in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it is our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. And if you didn't know, we're all shooting for the same goal, but we don't all have the same purpose. We don't all function in the body of Christ the same way. We're not all hands. We're not all feet. We all function in different ways. And so when you do what God has purposed you to do, then the body of Christ works exactly as it should. Amen? Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we ask that you pray for those who are sick and shut in, as well as one another, and of course, yourself, for our children, your children, my children, the children, and our nation, our world, our leaders, of course, on every single level, everyone who has kept this world going during the pandemic, obviously short of the power of God, and the many missing and exploited who are being trafficked and abused, as well as all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who are persecuted for their belief and service to the Lord. Special prayers go out to all of our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia, as well as Tyrone Hamilton and Pastor John McFaul. Amen. Pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, remembering Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which Pastor talked about today, which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, your house, your street, your neighborhood, like Pastor said, Judea, your community, you know, in today's time, Samaria, outside of the comfort zone of the places where you wouldn't normally go, and to the ends of the earth, places that you never thought you'd go, said you would never go, don't want to go, didn't even know they existed. Well, guess what? They need the word of God, too, and it's our job to spread the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Amen? So 1 Samuel 15:22 reads, Samuel said, which does the Lord prefer, obedience or offerings and sacrifices? It is better to obey him than to sacrifice the best sheep to him. So obviously, you know, literally it was sheep back in that day. But in today's day, what do you offer up to God in place of your obedience to him? Okay, so that's your sheep. So your job, your kids, social media, your social life, your traveling, whatever it is, money, whatever it is, what are you putting in place of your obedience to God? So if God asks you to plant the seed, then plant it because you're being obedient. If he asks you to water that seed, then water it because you're being obedient. And whatever you have to give up to do what God asks, you know, we know it's nothing in comparison to the blessings you will receive by being obedient. Amen? Amen. So Psalm 34:18 says the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew 5, verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12, 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. And 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 says, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And so when you are sad or heartbroken over the loss of a friend or a loved one, I know we've spoken about DMX, you know, the last couple of days, and chances are none of us know him personally, but it still doesn't change the fact that we feel sad and we feel heartbroken over things like that when we hear, you know, the loss of things like that. But, you know, should do our hearts good that he knew Jesus, and although his life was not perfect, it doesn't have to be. Every time the Lord looked at him, he saw perfection. So, you know, when you're sad or heartbroken, you know, over the loss of a friend or a loved one or just the loss of a life in general, use these scriptures as well as many others in the Word of God to give you strength and encouragement that, of course, only the Word of God can give you. So with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting, of course, in your thoughts and prayers. And as always, we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. We're all part of the body of Christ, and we need each other. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings are not always in the form of money or things, and a smile or a kind word goes a long way, and we know that the gift of love is free. So take time out to be a ray of light to someone today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. And to our Run for Christ Ministries family, we know we're not together physically. We miss each other. We are strong together in the spirit. And as the Lord says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, I also tell you this. If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. And we know that more than two or three filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ have come together this morning. So we thank God in advance for our answered prayers. Amen. So I have a devotional for you. All right. And I am just in awe and amazed at how the Lord just brings everything together. So your devotional today is titled, Is Christianity Worth It? All right. It's by Pastor Rick Warren. What profit is there if you gain the whole world and lose eternal life? What can be compared with the value of eternal life? That's Matthew 16:26. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, if our hope in Christ is good for this life only and no more, then we Christians deserve more pity than anyone else in all the world. Why does Paul say this? Well, for one thing, it isn't easy to live for Christ in a world that doesn't like Christ. So here's one of the most important questions you can ever answer. Is Christianity worth it? Everything in life has a price tag. Anytime you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. Is the prize worth the price of following Christ? In Matthew 16:26, where Jesus says, what profit is there if you gain the whole world and lose eternal life? What can be compared with the value of eternal life? Some people trade their souls for worldly things like money, fame, and materialism. Your soul is worth so much more. Paul realized this. When Paul shares his testimony in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 8, he says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. Paul realized nothing, no status, no amount of money, no pleasure is worth more than Jesus. We need a new definition of success. Real, meaningful success isn't based on what you have, your appearance, or even a good feeling. Real success comes from living your life by God's values, and it comes with the ultimate reward of enjoying eternity in heaven. So as some final thoughts, ask yourself these questions and answer honestly. The Holy Spirit will convict you but not condemn you. and you can't change what you don't acknowledge. So confess these areas of your life and allow God to work on you, because as Philippians 1 verse 6 says, the God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. So ask yourself these things. Why do you think so many people chase after money, fame, and pleasure? What things other than Christ are you tempted to chase after? Why do you think Christianity is worth it? And what have you spent your life chasing? Real success comes from living your life by God's values. Are you ready to start living for Jesus today? No one else can do this for you. This is a choice that you have to make, and your eternity hinges on this decision. So remember, your life is not your own. You were bought with a price, and you belong to him. So give yourself away to him today. Amen. Those are your announcements.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm ready to talk again. But I'm about to
My
voice getting ready to
don't
go. I think my voice on I think it's on the way out the door anyway.
Gave it 2 weeks notice.
It just got 2 weeks notice, yeah.
Two weeks notice. Lord have mercy.
Yeah. Crystal, thank you. Thank you for the extra work you do, and amen. And baby Holy Ghost did a good thing turning over the last word to you. And again, I love the Lord, how amazing he is, how we're in separate places, and we didn't even talk about it. But he loves how to, he knows how to put the icing right on the cake.
Be doing too much. Jesus be doing too much. Lord, have mercy.
Amen. Thank you, Crystal. Amen. See you later.
You're welcome. Amen.
Tell Mira I say what's up.
I sure will.
Amen. God bless. And this is just a sampling of what God has done. And I'm always amazed because, again, this is 18 years down the road. And the Lord told me back in 2002, and I cried, and I'll be honest with you, and I told him, I don't know how to do anything, any of this stuff you're asking me, and he just told me, look. So I said to him, if you tell me what to do with no parables and no riddles and just straight up what you want me to do, I'll do it. But you got to be clear, Jesus, none of that making me think stuff. And he came back with, if you only do what I tell you to do, then I will, you know, agree to your request. Somehow he took my request and turned it into his command. But anyway, it worked, and here we are 18 years later. And he told me, when I complained to him about, I don't know how to do this, I don't know how to do this, I don't know how to do this, he told me he was going to bring qualified, capable people to my side to do all these things. And he did that. And Running for Christ Ministries is doing everything that he told me it would do. It would be a teaching, learning, and doing ministry or a church. And we have more teachers, amen, and preachers, and even what folks call the pew, folks who just, they don't teach or preach, but they still powerful in the word. And I thank God for that, because it looks like that book of Acts church from Acts 1 to 6. And we'll pretty much stay like this until Jesus get back, because that's all he wants. Amen. So God bless you, and I thank each and every one of you. And we're asking $1 for each year from anybody who will. $1 for each year, $18, to help us in our, amen, celebration. And, you know, we don't yet have our own church home, and we're working toward that. So if you could, we're asking $1, just one, for each year, $18, amen, for the celebration, amen, of what Jesus has done and for what we're going to do going forward, amen. So God bless you. God keep you. Have yourselves a wonderful day. It's like Deaconess Kathy Clyburn says, this is a day that the Lord has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may he make his face to shine on you and give you peace. Until we meet again, see you when I see you.
for now. We'll have our second time around. But before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in your life every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength lies. I lift my eyes beyond the sky. Only he can save my life, and only he can hear my cry. I wanna thank you, God. Sing it all day. This song is my prayer I give to only you. I know it can't compare to the gift from you. You gave me your love. You gave me your son. Oh, is not his will. There's cattle on a thousand hills and they're all yours to claim. To claim them in his holy name. You don't have to beg or crawl, no. He can see you standing proud and tall. He'll give us everlasting love. Now I say amen.